Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Anybody have spring fever here today? Yeah, it's great that it's getting warm out. I'm excited about that. Well, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and just on behalf of our entire team, I know Jonte already just said it, but we just are so thankful that you're in service with us here this morning. One of the things that's our tradition is we like to greet and welcome all those who will be listening to this message in digital world later on this week, whether it be on a podcast or on our website. So let's give a big welcome to all those who will be listening to the message later this week online. I do have one quick announcement that I want to share for you. At the end of every service, we give you an opportunity to begin a walk with Jesus Christ, to begin a relationship with Jesus. And if you've done that, that's so amazing, but that's not the completion of your journey. And so the next step, if you've said yes to Jesus, if you've repented of your sins and received what he did for you at Calvary, the next step is Jesus commanded us as his followers to make disciples and baptize them and baptize new believers. And so everywhere as you read through the book of Acts, every time someone comes and says yes to Jesus, immediately they made the decision to be water baptized. And so if you want to be water baptized on Sunday, April 7th, we'll be having our next baptism celebration service. And so on your Connect card that Jonte just had you take out, the third option down at the bottom says, I want to be baptized. Just go ahead and mark that. Make sure your information and email is on here, and then a member of our team will be in contact with you this week. All right, everybody say, got it. Got it. All right. Well, today, as Jonte just mentioned, we're going to jump into the final installment of our current message series entitled The Vow. And what we've been doing, what I've been doing is I've been communicating to those in the room who are married, as well as those who would one day like to be married. And what I've been doing is I've been sharing tools that'll help you build a foundation necessary to have a strong in a God-honoring marriage. And we're going to wrap this series up today. We're going to be talking about the vow of purity, the vow of purity. And so what I want to do is I want to start. I like to make sure everybody's involved and no one's kind of falling asleep here. So I need 100% participation here. All right. So if you're in the room and you are married, I want you to raise your hands and keep them up. All right. Who's in the room that's married? All right. Raise your hand. Keep them up. All right. While your hands are still up. All right. How many of you in the room aren't married but one day hope to be married? Go ahead and put your hands up. All right. Come on. All across the room. All right. So look around. Keep your arms up nice and tall. Be proud about it. Listen, especially if you're married, be proud about it. Your arm better be all the way up if you're married. All right. Look around. All right. So that's almost everybody, probably 93, 94% of us in the room. Okay. So a few more questions. It's going to get harder. All right. How many of you like when questions get harder and harder? All right. You guys ready? Buckle yourself in because we're going to jump right into this. All right. How many of you plan on committing adultery one day? Let me see your hands. All right. I don't think anyone seriously raised their hand. I think I tricked someone, but I don't think anyone seriously did. All right. How many in the room plan on becoming addicted to pornography? Let me see your hands. All right. No hands here, right? I'll make it a little bit easier. How many of you plan on just having an emotional affair? In other words, you're not going to actually act on it, but you're going to give your heart to somebody else. Come on, let me see your hands. You plan on having an emotional affair, all right? So almost no one. It's amazing that I think, other than the people that were tricked, that no hands were raised to these questions, because nobody ever plans to destroy their marriage with sin. However, Shyla and I routinely have counseling sessions with people who have done the things that we just went through, and nobody raised their hands to. Nobody plans to hurt their relationship with sinful behavior, but yet it happens each and every single day. And then for those of you that are in the room here this morning that aren't yet married, it's easy to carry this attitude that says, hey, don't worry about it. That stuff doesn't really matter now. Once I get serious with someone, then I'll address those issues. And here's what I hope you'll understand this morning, is that your actions today do have an impact on your future. And the first blank in your outline, I encourage you, we've got a sermon outline. Pull it out, follow along with us, take some notes. But it's this, it's impossible to build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. That's worth an amen. I know you're writing, but you can write and say amen too. It's impossible to establish a marriage of righteousness that has been built on a foundation of sin. And so the choices that we make in the area of purity has an effect in all the areas of our life, but it especially impacts our marriage relationship. And so our key passage for this series, we've looked at this first verse every single week, is found in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And this is what it says. It says, "This explains why a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." Everybody say one. All right, verse 25, we're going to add this one this time. It says, "Now the man and his wife were both naked." I want you to notice this, "but they felt no shame." They felt no shame. The word shame here is derived from the Hebrew word, which is pronounced bush, and it means to be ashamed or to feel completely worthless. And so the Bible tells us that they were naked, but yet they did not have any sense that it was inappropriate, that it was wrong, that it was dirty. But what happens is when sin enters into the world, when sin enters into our lives, shame immediately accompanies it. All right, and so when we face sin in our life, and I just want to pause here, the sins that we commit, but I want you to understand this part, even the sins committed against us, when we face sin in our life, we are left feeling unworthy, we are left feeling unlovable, we're left feeling dirty, we're left feeling embarrassed, and the shame caused by sin drives us to hide and cover things up. Even in the beginning, though Adam and Eve were naked, they didn't feel any shame because sin had not yet entered into the world. It was completely innocent. And those of us in this room that have raised young children in our homes, we can relate to this, right? How many of you remember those days that you'd throw them all in the bath and you'd be soaping them up and you'd be rinsing them down and you'd pull them out of the bathtub so they wouldn't fall, and then before you could grab them, they're running through the house shrieking at the top of their lungs, butt naked and laughing, and all the kids are laughing and you're laughing and it's funny, right? Because it's innocent. They don't care because there is no shame. But something happened to Adam and Eve. In the very next verse in the Bible, we move to Genesis 3, verse 1. It says, "They were naked, they felt no shame, but the serpent came along, tempted them to sin, and they obliged." And watch this. Instantly, the moment they do this, the effects of sin enters into the world that you and I have all been born into. And this is what it says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. It tells us, at that moment, which moment? The moment that they sinned, at that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. All right, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And this is just pure my opinion and conjecture here, but that's probably when Adam and Eve had their first fight. Because Adam said to Eve, he said, "Hey, don't you argue with me. Somebody's got to wear the plants in the family." All right, some of you will get that later. All right, that was terrible. That was horrible. I have to repent just for saying that in church. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves, verse 8. And when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. And so they hid from the Lord among the trees. I want you to understand that Adam and Eve walked with the Lord, Scripture says, in the cool of day, every single day. So God comes out looking for them, and he called to the man, and he says to the man, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, God, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." And so what did Adam do? He ran and tried to hide from God, and the exact same thing happens today in our lives. Mankind's response to sin hasn't really changed one single bit over the last 4,000 plus years. You know, as a parent, right, we probably all experienced this. You come out of your room to discover Sharpie all over the wall, right? right? And so you start walking around. Where is that? I'm going to wring their neck, you know? Where are they at? And you're looking, and you find them. They're kind of like hiding in, like half in the closet, right? Or they're kind of like sort of under the bed, and they're hiding. And you find them, and you say, "Did you write on the wall?" And they go, "No." But there's black marker all over their face, right? Or did you get into the snacks and eat all of the chocolate? Well, they look up and say, "No," but their face is covered, right? From head to toe. I won't say which one it was, but I remember one of our kids, we couldn't find them. And we're looking and like, where in the world are they? And they had opened up the bottom cabinet where we kept all the snacks, and they just closed themselves in and were having themselves a feast, right? And so what I'm trying to get you to understand is that the same thing happens to grown-ups. We've just perfected it a little bit. Someone will ask you in your life group or maybe after church or before church as you're spending time together, they'll say, Hey, are you okay? Do you need some help? Can I pray for you in an area maybe that you're struggling? And then what do? We respond, No, I'm good. Everything is fine. We end up hiding our sin because we feel this profound sense of shame. And I want to let you know what shame is. Shame is Satan's tool of connecting the act to the identity. Shame is Satan's tool of connecting the act to the identity. Come on, somebody needs to hear this. Satan will use your shame to try to connect the bad thing you did to who you are as a person. In other words, Satan will say, "You did something bad, therefore you are bad." And the way that this plays out in our relationship and in our marriages, we mistakenly think, "I can't really tell you the things that I've done or the things that I'm thinking because then you'll think I'm a bad person. I can't really let you know the struggle that I'm going through because you won't be able to, or you will be unwilling to love the real me." So here's the next blank for your outline: secrecy. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. Satan has tricked us in our marriages to hide and to bury things instead of exposing them to the light, which leads to incredible depths of intimacy. And here's what I want you to understand this morning. You may think that your hiding is actually protecting something, but it's actually building up walls that over time, I promise you, it will destroy your relationship. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. And so as a quick review of where we've been, I want to take a look at the four vows I've asked you to make in this series. In week number one, we talked about the vow of priority, which states, "I promise that God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my second." I promise that God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my second. In week two, we talked about the vow of pursuit. And that vow states, "I promise I will always pursue my two." And then last week, I talked about the vow of partnership. And that one says, "I promise our marriage will be about we and not me." I promise that our marriage will be about we and not me. And so if you missed any of those messages, they're available. We've got a free smartphone app on our website. We've got an iTunes podcast. I encourage you to listen to those. But our fourth vow, the vow of purity, is this. Get ready. Number four, it's, "I promise to confide in you and not hide from you." I promise to confide in you and not hide from you, because secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul is writing about the darkness and the light in our lives. And this is what he said, verse 8. He says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." For those of you that are walking with Christ, what I want you to understand is before you came to him, your sin separated you from God and it surrounded you in darkness. And so what happens is when we come to God, we walk into the light, but even though we come into the light of Jesus, the problem is that a lot of us in this room, we step back into an ongoing sin. We step back into an ongoing struggle. And as we walk out of the light of Jesus, what begins to happen is our eyes begin to adjust. They begin to reacclimate to the dark. And before long, without even recognizing that it's happened, our eyes get completely adjusted to living in darkness. And we find ourselves in places that God never intended for us to be. Sometimes when things aren't working in our marriages, when our relationship is falling apart, you don't even realize why, because our eyes have adjusted to the darkness. Now, I want you to watch this going on. Paul says this. He says, live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and all righteousness and in all truth. And then watch this verse 10. And find out what pleases the Lord. And I want you to know that's a big secret there in that verse. That's what we should be working towards in our marriage. And really, for that matter, every other area of our life. To find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Everybody say expose them. So Paul's saying here, have nothing to do with them. Why? Because you will never find healing in the dark. Shame grows in the dark, but healing happens in the light. So we must expose the deeds of darkness. In Ephesians 5:3, Paul lets us know how incredibly high God's standard is when it comes to purity in our lives, because this is what he wrote. He says, but among you, there must not be even a hint. Everybody say a hint. There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of an impurity. There should not even be a hint of it. Nothing that even resembles it. Why? Because impurity is a poison. From the time we were little children, right? We were taught to stay away from poison, right? Mom said, don't go under the sink where all the cleaning goods are put in. How many of you remember growing up? I don't know if they still do this, but back in the day, the glow-in-the-dark green yuck stickers, right, that we used to get. And do they still do that now? Anyone that's younger? No. You're like, I have no idea. Nobody knows those yuck stickers. You put them on the phone, and they kind of glow in the dark. I guess I'm dating myself here. There's like eight of us here that, oh, okay. You just didn't want to admit. You're like, he's just the old one up there, right? Right, the yuck stickers, you know that it was warning. Stay away from this. Don't go to this place. And so we need to stay away from anything that is impure or displeasing to God, because it corrupts and it poisons and it harms those who consume it. And so I want to be really plain with you, break it down and be really real. None of us raised our hands about planning to commit adultery or having an emotional affair or becoming addicted to pornography, which, amongst other things, promotes the sex trafficking industry. But if no one wants those things, if no one says, yeah, that's my plan to do it, then why do so many people fall prey to them? And I believe it's because we have put this line of sin in the wrong place. For example, when describing purity in marriage, many people will often say, you know, I'm not supposed to commit adultery, so here's the line right here, and this is what I'm not supposed to do. So I'm gonna stay, you know, this is the line. I'm just gonna be careful not to cross that line, right? I'm not gonna go there. But what we don't recognize is that the sin line doesn't start there. It actually starts way over here. Long before you ever commit the end act of adultery, you've crossed all other sorts of sin lines. And what I want you to understand is we need to recognize that Jesus spoke very clearly about the sin line when it comes to adultery. He said in Matthew 5:27, you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. Watch this, though. Verse 28, Jesus completely flips it. He says, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Right, men? Women? I say anyone who even looks at a man with lust in her heart has already committed adultery with him in her heart, right? Jesus said the line of sin isn't crossed when you actually do the act. No, the line of sin is crossed the first time that you're at the gym and you go, oh my, my, my. Or at work. You know, there's the coworker, the new coworker that comes in that you try to build a deeper relationship with only because they're attractive. And then you start looking upon these individuals lustfully, and you start thinking, man, what would it be like if I got to know them? And I wonder if they would like me. And so what happens is people learn their schedule, right? You learn their schedule, so you just happen to be at the gym when they're there working out. Come on, I'm going to preach it plain today, all right? Or you walk the long way around the office just so you can happen to pass by their cube and have a discussion. So many of us, we put the line in the wrong place, and before long, we're hurting, and our marriages are struggling. feeling, and we literally have no idea that our eyes have adjusted to the darkness. So let me say it again. You cannot build a marriage of righteousness on a foundation of sin. In Proverbs 5:8, Solomon said this about the sin line and women that would tempt you to be unfaithful. He said, keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Keep a path far from him. Do not go near the door of his house. In other words, if there's even a potential of sin being in the area, I'm just going to go another way. I'm just going to take a different route. In fact, Jesus was so extreme when he taught on this. He said, so if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And so I want you to hear me. If there is something that gets in the way of righteousness in any area of your life, then do all that you have to do in order to rid yourself from it. Take a different path. Find a new job. Walk through the office a different way. Join a new gym. For goodness sakes, get fat instead of working out. Listen, it's not worth your soul, and it's not worth your marriage, and it's not worth what you're going to put your children through. Stay away from it. Don't get close to it. It's poisonous. It's impurity. It's not cute. It's not okay. It's wrong, and it's dangerous. So that's why in our marriage, Shyla and I have committed to not having any secrets. And she'll be the first to probably say, amen, I'm far from perfect, right? But I've worked and we've worked to eliminate all the places that I could hold and that we could hold secrets from one another. My computer is monitored. My phone is monitored. I have accountability partners that see every single web page that I visit and the time of day that I visit it. My wife has the password to my phone and every account that I have. I have hers. We have joint bank accounts. That's another message. Just leave that right there, right? There are apps that I've turned off on my phone. Why? Because I want to make sure that I've done everything I can to protect myself in order to stay as far as possible away from the line of sin. I won't meet with a woman alone. I won't drive in a car with another woman alone. I've decided that I'm not going to put myself in the type of situation where any kind of compromise could happen. Why? Because I want my life to honor God. And because I've married my best friend, I've married my covenant partner, she's the mother of my children, and I want to honor her by the way that I live my life. Amen. Amen. So how can we stay pure? How do we actually live this out? You say, well, that all sounds good, Pastor, but have you seen the world we live in? You know, how do we live a life of purity in a world where we are constantly bombarded by impure messages and impure thoughts and marketing that just challenges us this way? I want you to watch this. This is so amazing. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 9, watch what David asked. He said, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And this is why I love this verse, because this is a question that's been asked for thousands of years. How can anyone stay on the path? And then he tells us the very next phrase, we can do it by living according to your word. Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Listen, the key to living a life of purity according to God's standard can only be found by living according to the things we find in this book. So how do we do that? How do we do that? We've got to know this word. We've got to be students of his word. That's why every single, you know, before the first Sunday of every month, you're going to get a soap outline in your service guide. And we've got free journals out there in the back, because if you'll just do this Bible reading and journaling exercise with us, it'll take you less than 15 minutes a day. I promise you, it'll transform your life, and God will speak to you over and over and over and over again. And then watch what David says. He says, verse 11, he says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. I want you to understand, the Bible isn't meant to just be something we hear at church. It isn't meant to be something that you just wait till pastor opens something up to share with you. His word, this book, is living bread that we should feed upon daily. It spiritually nourishes us. It strengthens us. The Bible tells us it lights up our path. It directs our step. His word is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. His word washes impurity away. It transforms our hearts and our minds and our lives into the image of Christ. It leads us out of darkness, the Bible says, and into his marvelous light. Amen. And once we are conformed to him, once we are molded more into his image, there is nothing across the sin line that is even enticing, because I've tasted and I've seen the goodness of Jesus Christ. I've experienced his blessing in my life. When you press into God, when you know him, suddenly what used to lure you will begin to repulse you. Why? Because you're being conformed. You're being made into the image of Christ. It's pure living. So secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. And that's why I implore you not to have any secrets in your marriage. In fact, I challenge you to do a sobering exercise. I want you to visualize and I want you to lock these results in your mind. Imagine for a moment, this is the exercise. I want you to do it. You got homework tonight, all right? You got homework this afternoon. I want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like if you're married in the room, if you decided to step across the line of safety and commit adultery. I want you to visualize what it would cost you. Now this isn't a complete list for me, but here's some of mine. I want to just share them with you. First, I would break the heart of God. If I did that, I would break the heart of God, and one day I would have to give an account for what I did outside of the parameters of the good and loving truth that he gave me to follow in this book to protect me and to protect my family. As a pastor, that choice would drag the name of Jesus Christ through the mud. It would drag this church through the mud. I would hurt people who have looked to me and counted on me as a leader. Because of my role in the community and as a pastor, it would likely become a local news story, and people would talk about me, and they'd talk about my family on social media, and I wouldn't have an opportunity to respond to them. I would lose my ministry. I would ruin my reputation. I would have to sit down with my three amazing boys who looked to me as an example, and I'd have to look in their eyes, and I'd have to apologize to them and say, "I'm sorry, your dad was not the man he said that he was." Then I'd have to face Shyla. And I'd have to look into the eyes of an amazing woman who gave me three beautiful children. A woman who sacrificed more than you can imagine to stand alongside of me as we pursued God's calling on our lives. And because of my selfish behavior, I would inflict untold hurt upon this incredible woman who God has sent to help me, who is my best friend. With just a few moments of selfishness, my life could be in ruins. Hear me this morning. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. And I'd be doing you a disservice as a pastor this morning if I didn't just come out and say it in a crowd this size with this many married people sitting in the room. There are some of you right now, you are walking down this road. Please stop. Imagine what those discussions would feel like. Count the cost. Beware. God is here issuing a challenge. Warning, 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 warning. Here's the good news. Even if you've already went too far, even though adultery, according to Scripture, is the only grounds for divorce in the Bible, it's also grounds for forgiveness. And this is the good news. The good news is that we serve a God of grace. And so if you're walking in any form of darkness, whether it be related to this issue or any other area of your life, I implore you to do what is right this morning and bring it into the light. Proverbs 28:13, it's so powerful. This is what it says. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess, if they turn from them, in other words, if they repent, they will receive mercy. I promise you that whatever you keep in the dark, it will not heal. It will destroy you, and it will continue to grow as long as you keep it in the dark. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Some of you need to understand it. You may have never heard this before. We confess our sins to God for forgiveness, but we confess to others to find healing. There are some people here this morning. You might be sitting here in this room and you're not married, but it's time to open up to a mentor, someone that you can respect, someone that you can love, an elder, and say, you know what, I need help. I'm in trouble. I'm living in darkness. I've stepped across the line. There are others in this room where you're married, and listen, I want you to hear this warning loud and clear. It's time for you to stop playing games. It's time to stop hiding, because secrets are the enemy of intimacy, and this message is a warning to you to stand up with courage and say, you know what? I am in a place where I need some help. Listen, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to not be okay and not get the help that you need. So some of us in this room, you may end up on the receiving end of a confession. And here's what I know based on what we've walked through in our relationship. I know it's going to hurt. And something's going to rise up in you that'll cause you to want to just take things and throw them across the room and yell out, hey, how dare you do that? And even though it's going to hurt, listen, if your spouse has the courage enough to open up and ask for your help and ask for your forgiveness, listen, we need to extend grace the same way that God gave it to us. And that is, he didn't say, Andrew, look at all the garbage you've done. No, he said, Andrew, you come home. I'm going to forgive you. I already paid the price. Give grace freely, and even though it's going to hurt, what I want you to understand, what I want you to realize is that the truth will set you free. And in time, it's not going to be immediate, and in time, healing will occur, and you will have the marriage of your dreams. Listen, you cannot have what God wants when you're living a lie. You can only have what God wants when there's truth and our lives are built upon truth. So you're gonna have to press through the pain of dealing with truth to get to the healing on the other side. So I want you to know this morning that God wants so much more for our marriages than what most of us are experiencing in the room today. And so if we'll commit to these four vows, God, I promise to always put you first. And I'll always put my spouse second. Lord, I promise to always pursue my spouse. I promise to make our marriage centered around we and not me. And finally, I promise to confide in my spouse and not hide from them. Listen, if you want what few people have, you've got to be willing to do what few people will do, and that is follow God's plan. Follow the things we find in this book. And my prayer is that as you live according to the principles we've talked about in this series, that your marriage will be a testimony to the goodness of Jesus Christ. People will see it, and they'll want and desire what you have, and they'll recognize that there's something different upon your life. So as I close here this morning, there are those in the room that you've been carrying around the weight of your sin for a very, very long time. And the good news is that you can be set free from that weight of sin right now, just in a moment. All you have to do is say, hey, Jesus, I believe and I accept what you did for me at Calvary. Lord, I accept and I believe that you went and you paid the sin debt that I deserve to pay. You just got to stop and say, yes, Jesus, I repent, which simply means I'm going to stop going my own direction and instead I'm going to follow you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if you're ready to make that decision today, if you're sitting here and maybe you had a committed life to Jesus, but for whatever reason, you've drifted away, you've walked away from Jesus, but you're ready to come back home. Listen, he is waiting to meet us at the point of our faith in him. So if that's how you feel, I want to pray for you. And so would you just signify that by lifting up your hands so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, keep them up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In the back, I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Lord Jesus, Lord, you see every hand that's raised. And Lord God, first and foremost, Lord, I pray over, Lord, those who are far from you. Lord Jesus, those who have never said yes to you, Lord God, in this moment right now, Lord, we give our hearts to you. We give our lives to you. Lord, from this point forward, Lord, we commit to not go our direction, Lord, but to go the way that you've called us to. Lord Jesus, I thank you for new life. Lord, I thank you for hope. Lord, I thank you for a future. Lord, I thank you for the blood that you shed for the sins that I committed. Lord, you paid the price of what I deserve to pay. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.